Introducing Manor Wisdom Quintet!
So I've got Javon Rougely on this week. Javon, you know, I don't want to label him as something that he's not, but he is Destiny Miller's replacement at Bush High School, and replacing someone that had a lot of success is not easy. And so he's done a really, really good job. He was kind of, as you'll, I think he mentions it, you know, was kind of handpicked almost. Spent some time at another high school before this, at Sterling High School, just a brief amount of time. And he's young. He's brand new to education, but you'll hear has a ton of personality and a ton of maturity and a ton of wisdom, even for a 23-year-old fresh out of college educator, doing great things. And last year, and again, this was recorded a while back, so I don't remember everything that he said in the interview, but I do remember what we talked about. I just don't remember if it was part of the recorded interview. But he was a part of the Sterling one-act play last year that I contest managed, and whether I'm supposed to or not, I'm a human, and I was very moved by their show, to the point where I was like having to collect myself after their show concluded, but I didn't want to delay them so much that, because this weak contest manager couldn't keep his emotions together. So I went back there and I was still kind of teared up, and I explained to them that normally plays don't really get to me, but their play was very strong and moved me, and it didn't advance. It should have. I have my assumptions as to why, based on who the adjudicators were, but it was awesome. And so anyway, so that's when I was made aware of Javon and kind of his talents and his maturity and wisdom and everything like that. So not a lot to talk about. I will say I'm not super duper motivated to produce content for this podcast anymore. For a couple reasons, and I talked about them last week, or last time I was on, I skipped last week. So, you know, I'm going to do a few interviews here and there and post some stuff, but I'm not going to worry about week to week anymore, because it's just difficult, especially when you don't get paid for it. And, you know, the numbers have been consistent, very consistent numbers throughout the 5 years that I've been doing this, but they're not high. You know, they're in the, they have three numbers every time. I've never had a podcast break 1,000 downloads. Doesn't mean there aren't 1,000 listeners, just not 1,000 downloads. So, it's not very motivating. You know, I try to do my best, but, it is what it is. I do encourage you to listen to Mel, Edwards's podcast Behind the Plaster Line on Spotify. I don't think it's made its way to iTunes yet or whatever Apple calls it, Apple Podcast. Don't shut me down. But yeah. Been in quite a few schools recently. Been in working at a Lone Star campus, one of the community colleges here in Houston. And I'll tell you this, there are a lot of high schools in much better shape than some of these campuses, these college campuses. It's quite embarrassing, but been helping out, and I'm going to do my best to get one campus kind of cleaned up. They haven't had somebody there that's a theatrical lighting person in a very long time, so I'm going to do my best to get it cleaned up before the permanent person comes in. And then lots of things on my mind as far as what next school year is going to look like. I've already booked a couple shows, actually, at different schools. Very honored to do that, and that's really cool. And I will do them whether I decide ultimately to go back to the classroom or not. We'll see what happens. Anyway, as I record this, Javon's show, UIL show, is done. They're finished. And but congrats to their team, that group of students. You know, they gotta get a new identity, you know, with Javon there. and it's going to be pretty awesome. I guarantee you're going to see Bush High School or anywhere Javon is, really. But he doesn't lead me to believe that he's going to leave Bush High School anytime soon. But so I think you're going to see Bush back in the top tiers again with his leadership. It's not just a Destiny Miller thing. She's very good, but there's something in the water over there. And I only know that because I lived over there. There's definitely something in the water. So enjoy this week's Javon Rougelet. And I apologize for the monotone voice, but as I explained, I'm in my wife's office and I have to be quiet. Have a good week, everybody. Happy Easter. Oh yeah, happy Easter. Happy Easter to those who celebrate. I don't celebrate. Happy Easter. Go get an egg.
So I basically started my journey with theater in the fourth grade. I've been doing theater for about 13 years now, though I am young. And I get that a lot, like, how long you been doing theater? I'm like, 13 years. I'm like, oh, wow. But I did start off acting and still kind of act every now and then. But throughout middle school, church, high school, I was acting. But then I also took on like the technical aspect of like stage management, which I really loved during like my high school years. And I kind of still acted just every now and then. But one thing that really influenced me was my technical theater teacher, Miss Jessica Hazard. She's an amazing lady. She was like, so what do you want to do with your life? And I was like, well, I want to be a teacher. She was like, why don't you teach theater? And I was like, huh, never thought about that. So literally went to school for theater and minored in secondary education at Sam Houston State University. So I would not be here without my technical theater teacher who inspired me or gave me the realization to teach theater because I never thought about that before. So I went through all 3.5 years. So I graduated early from Sam Houston, but who I am today is because of Aaron Brown, who is an amazing director, amazing person, human being. So I had plenty of times coming to his office crying or just wanting to vent and him just listening and giving like the best advice. But he really made me realize that I want to be a director and that I had like the potential to be a director. And so I really appreciate his like wisdom to where even when I was stage managing in college, he still was helped me in the aspect of like, here's some tips on what I do as a director, or here's some things that I've noticed that you do that you can always be influenced by when you are directing. And I really love that. Even while stage manager, he was like, you can still use this for directing. So I love that about him. And his Directing One course really honed in my directing skills. And I was like, yes, this is what I want to do. And then thanks to him and some other mentors, I was able to be a student direct at Sam Houston and directed American Son. And that was a lovely, wonderful experience to where I was finally able to do a whole show and really make it my own. With the help and like the collaboration of the actors, which is what I always love about theater. So I really thank Aaron Brown because he's the reason I'm a director today. I will give him that. But right after graduating college, I started working at Sterling High School in HISD as a good old 21-year-old, straight out of college teacher. And then I was the head director there. Though it never felt like it, but I got the pay and I appreciated the pay. But I was a head director straight out of college and I was there for a semester, which was a wonderful experience. I learned so much, but also I learned the things that I should do and shouldn't do as a teacher and director. But I also met with so many new people. Like Yvonne Phyllis Dupree, Ezekiel Morgan, Jabari Collins, Rashonda Jones, meeting those people that I would have never met if I didn't go to Sterling. So I definitely am appreciative to that. But I knew I was going to leave Sterling in like mid-February because it was just like I just wasn't vibing with the school and the environment. But that's just me where I grew up from. I was like, this ain't really what I'm used to. But in May, I got a good old phone call from Destiny Miller. And I was like, in the middle of the office at the school, just hearing her saying, "Hey, why don't you come over to Bush and just see what it's like?" And I was like, "Huh?" And she was like, "Take a half day off and come see." And I was like, "What?" I'm like, "I'm at work right now." But then the next day, I took a half day and went over to Bush. And she was just like, "You know, I'm leaving. So I just want to." You were referenced by Aaron Brown, of a potential person who could come over here and really like lighten up this space and lighten up, and we could continue on once I leave. And I was like, "Oh, well, I'm super honored to even be considered for a position like this." So I toured the school, met Jason Barron, the technical director at the time. And I was like, fell in love instantly, just with the diversity, the student dynamics, the culture in general. I was like, this is what I've been wanting and looking for at the school I'm at now. And it was just refreshing. So I was like, I will be applying. And then the rest is history because I got the job. I got that phone call. I just landed in New York. And I got the phone call from Miss James, and she was like, "Hey, just want to let you know, I sent you an email, but we would like to consider you and offer you the position as assistant theater director here at Bush." And I was like, "Yes!" I was like, "Oh, my trip is going good." So I instantly took it and accepted it just because I knew it was like a path for me, like a calling that I just had to follow. So I definitely thank Destiny Miller for the job at Bush. So yeah, that's where I'm at now. And then I've done directed a Black Box show, fall show, musical, and now I'm on to UIL already. So yeah, it's been a busy year, busy season. But I appreciate Destiny for what I've been gained. And I appreciate Jason Barron too for pushing me along the way and helping me along the way, because it's been an interesting year.
Yeah, I bet. So, you know, it's tough to come in regardless of who the person is that you're replacing, because there's always an allegiance, right? Students that, mm-hmm. whether that person was a tyrant or not, there's always an allegiance, right? Now, mm-hmm. obviously, Destiny is a tyrant. No, I'm kidding. But obviously, Destiny had a reputation, a very good one, a solid one. Mm-hmm. People still love her very much. However, and I'm just judging from the outside, it seems as though it was almost seamless. And it seems like mm-hmm. there is, like, what ended up happening is, and you already kind of mentioned that Destiny not necessarily said you're the only one on the that's applying. Mm-hmm. Obviously you weren't, but it seems as though because she gave her blessing that the mm-hmm. students were like, well, if she's good, if he's good enough for her, then
yeah,
then we're going to, it's almost like a queen bee. Like, you know, if it's yes. good enough for this hive, then we'll, and I'm not talking about Beyonce, but, you know,
she's definitely the queen.
Yeah, she is the queen bee. I went to middle school with her, but anyway, don't worry about that. But, yeah. You know, I've only mentioned that 150,000 times, but, but you know, do you get that vibe? Is that kind of how you feel about it?
Oh yes. Yeah. I didn't feel out of place, because I met the officers first before even like the first day of school.
Yeah.
Because we came and like kept cleaned up. It was like summer cleaning before yeah. school start. And they instantly was like, "Hey, how are you? Like, where are you from? Like, what's going on? Like, glad that you're here." Like, it was instant love and connection with them, to where once we got actually first day of school, all the students, like there wasn't like a bad omen or a bad place there. Once I got fully in, it was like, "Oh, he's the new one."
Yeah.
I got yeah. that a lot. He's the new one. But it was never bad. It was always good, especially right. with the production students. They really gravitated toward me and I gravitated toward them.
Yeah.
Also, I think it helps too that I am young,
yeah.
Which is like my positive vibe. And also it can bring me down some days because they're like, "Oh, he's relatable. He's young." But it's like, I'm still your teacher and director friend. But yes, it was seamless, like instantly connection with all the students.
So that, I mean, that's a good segue. It leads me to kind of my next question. And mind you, just for people listening, we're recording this before you have competed at One Act Play. So I will ask you One Act Play questions, but so this is before you're competing, but it's coming out after you will have competed. So I mm-hmm. say all that just as a precursor, but being as young as you are, like when I met you last year, contest managing for Sterling, amongst other schools, mm-hmm. obviously wasn't just Sterling. That would have been a weird contest, but anyway, just one show,
but a showcase.
Yeah. Right. But anyway, when I met you, obviously you appear young, but you hold yourself in such a, I guess wise, you exude a wiser and a, I don't want to say older, that's very like generalizing, yeah. but you get what I'm saying. I just, mm-hmm. I don't English well, you didn't come across as somebody as young as you are. And the only reason I really kind of knew how young you were is because I have former students that were at mm-hmm. SAM with you. And so I was like, well, he must be in this sort of age range, right? So I say mm-hmm. all that to say, what are kind of some of your little tips and tricks and secrets that you've kind of adopted to still be hip, young, cool, but also authoritative director, teacher, educator?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. No, I definitely hold myself to like a higher standard. And I think that's like that modeling expectations mm-hmm. to the students. But I tell them from the front, like, yes, I'm young. Yes, I'm cool. But mm-hmm. At the end of the day, like, yeah, I do have to listen to me. I'm still the oldest in the room. I'm still your director, still your teacher. So definitely setting those boundaries up front is what really helps to where they're not just always thinking, oh, he's a friend or he's young. Oh, he doesn't really care as much or we can do whatever we want when we're around him. Mm-hmm. It's never been that. And I tell them that from the jump. So definitely always coming in with the boundaries would be like my biggest thing, especially being so young. But I never let that hinder me or deter me from what I know I'm here to do.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, I'm here to do theater. I'm here to teach you. My age or how young I am should never be something that doesn't allow me to do my job.
Right.
So definitely coming in, the boundaries and expectations, that's like my biggest tips to those who are young or those who are just coming in the game, the game of teaching right. theater, educational theater in Texas. Is definitely setting boundaries because
yeah.
they know, oh, we can't do this with Mr. J because okay. I go by Mr. J and I have to say Mr. because sometimes they like to call people by like, it's just their last name or yeah. first name, but I throw Mr. in there because it's like, oh, he's still, you hear Mr. J across the room, like, oh, okay, it's not a young person.
Right.
Per se.
Yeah, that's a funny topic. That I mean, I totally understand that. And if my dad were here today, which as we record this, it would have been his 75th birthday, so he's an old man, you know. But anyway, he was a little old school and was like the Mr., Mrs., Sir, Ma'am, that kind of stuff. But I had my students rarely called me Mr. Minor. They always called me Minor. And I would get people that say, like a dance teacher, Angela Hayes, who I adore, would always say, you need to make them call you Mr. Minor. And like, yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, I understand it. I get it. But it is,
yeah.
it's not offending me in any way to just call me Minor. You will get slapped if you call me by my first name as a
yes,
student. But
do not call me by my first name.
But, you know, so I do have a line. But it's, you know, I kind of understand it with you a little bit because there is, you do have to establish and make sure you remind them that you are the authority. So mm-hmm. yeah, I get it. So speaking of, cause I, again, this is different because I kind of know you a little bit. And so sometimes I don't mm-hmm. know the person I'm interviewing. So I'm just like, hey, what's your favorite cheese? Anyway, so with you, I've got a little history. So
American.
Okay. Oh, really? All right. That's all right. Question. This is something for Nancy and Destiny, because Nancy, Destiny, and I go get if you want the best wing in Houston, and it's not that far from you, it's at Bullpen Pizza. It's right near Dulles. It's amazing. And Destiny, Nancy, and I go. Hope you know now that Destiny's gone, but we usually go 6-7 times a year to this place and get wings. And we always talk about how, or we have talked about how, when they call, when they say bone in, or, you know, do you want a bone in or boneless? And I always say there's no such thing as a boneless wing. It's a nugget. That's a different, or a chicken, you know, chicken bite chicken or something, you know. Anyway,
agree.
I digress. Bone thank you. In, all right. Yeah.
All drums.
Yeah. Well, all okay. See, we can debate that, but but at least we agree that, you know, you don't even have to say bone in. You just say I want wings. Like, it's just because,
yeah,
if it doesn't have a, anyway. Whatever.
Rabbit hole. Yeah, right. We can talk about wings. I love food. We can talk about food. This is gonna turn into a food podcast.
It almost was. We almost were sitting and having dinner. But anyway, that's my fault. But so let's go to the Sterling thing, because, and I was telling my wife Jennifer yesterday when I was saying, hey, I'm gonna be meeting Javon, blah 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 blah, at dinner. I was reminding her, hey, he's the one that directed that show that like shook me, like that I came backstage and unprofessionally was like in tears, and I remember like hugging your lead actor and because it was so like, I can't for the life of me understand how that show was not a state qualifier. Like, it just, in like, if I were an adjudicator, that show would have been one straight ones at the day I saw it, right? Every adjudicator says, I'm only seeing one day of your show. So
yeah,
it may be good today, it may be bad today, whatever, but it's one day. But it was so moving and powerful. And I don't think anybody in that audience was not moved or not in tears.
Yeah.
What the hell? What did you guys take away from that experience? Because I know I made your kids feel like they just put on a Broadway level show, which I shouldn't have done as a contest manager. However, I'm not the one making the decision. How did you guys walk away from that experience with you as a director and also your student?
We definitely walked away with the idea of knowing the theater industry, but also knowing that what we did put out was our best. We told the story, and as long as that we knew that, it was enough for us to, no matter what the award ceremony was, we were okay with it.
Yeah.
To where we knew and we were strong into the story that we told. And then with that, and with us saying that to them, and it really helped when you said your piece, because they really liked that and understood that, okay, like, we can breathe, like, we did do our best. But before all that, we knew that no matter what, we were telling this story.
Yeah.
To where sometimes we won't sit with everybody. Sometimes not everybody will enjoy it or like the content, things like that. But we told the story to our best ability, and we were sticking to whatever we told, no matter what. So they definitely took that away, in the sense we go stand on our ground for this show. And they did it.
Yeah.
They did it.
It was, did you know, like, I'm not much of a director. I have directed before, but you know, it's not something I really enjoy, but I'll do it if the show is something I like. Do you kind of, as a director, and I've never really asked this to the 200 plus people I've interviewed, but do you know, like, when you've got it, when things like click? Not, I don't mean you necessarily, like, you're strutting around like freaking, you know, like a runway model. I mean, like, do you know like when the show, when you've like, that we've hit that spot, that sweet spot of like, they understand, I understand. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
You definitely know. And it's never in the rehearsal process. It's like day one or two of a performance, and you're like, okay, now this is where we should have been or where we need to be. But the idea that we finally got there, is to when I can just like do my hands, wash my hands off, and I'm like, okay, they got it. Especially when they take ownership and they make, okay, this is our show, and they really hone in on it. Like, that's what I'm like, y'all got it. And it's clicking, everything's working, the story's being told, looks beautiful. Especially when, with me, I'm always a good person. I like to make an audience cry.
Yeah.
So if they're not crying by like the end of the show, I didn't do my job.
Yeah.
So when I get that reaction, I'm really like, that's icing on the cake. But long as the students take ownership and they really, like, I don't have to say much, they just do it, I'm like, okay, we got a show.
Do you think, and work with me on this question, I don't know if it's going to come off the way I want to ask it, but do you think because you are younger, and I don't want to harp on that because you should get the respect that you deserve, but do you think that because if I'm directing something, it's not a drama. There's no element of dramatics with it. It's a comedy, right? Do you think that your age helps get a kid in high school closer to that relatability of the emotion because you are still somewhat close to it? Does that
question make sense? Yes, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
My biggest thing to always say is, like, I've been where you've been, and I was where you was like 4 years ago,
right.
To where I had to ask all these questions to become this character, to actually dive in, to try to get on that emotional level that I needed to be for the show. So definitely saying, like, I know you already, I feel you, I understand you, but I'm going to help you as best as I can to where we can find your way to get to that emotional vulnerability. Because I don't like spoon feeding people.
Yeah.
I tell them all the time, I'm going to spoon feed you, because at the end of the day, you did something in the audition room that got you this role.
Right.
So I want to see what you did there so we can expand on it, level up. But you've already done a lot of the work. Now, how can we really dive in? But definitely saying, like, I've been where you are. I understand being at my age.
Right.
Just because I also tell them too that, yes, I've been here before, but I'm also still learning.
Right.
Because I am young, like, I don't have all the answers. I'm not the best director around, you know what I mean? But I know what I can put on that stage. I know how I can help you be your best. And that's what makes a show, so we can tell the story. Because I'm like, I'm young, y'all. I do say that. I say that a lot. So I do be like, I'm young. I don't know it all. I'm still learning. I'm trying to get in grad school right now. Like, I want to keep learning so I can be a better director in the future. Like, I'm always learning, never stop. And I always tell them that too, that you never stop learning, especially with your characters, where you can always dive in. So yeah. Definitely being young, it relates to them in the sense of, like, okay, he was here before. I can do it.
Have you had kids say, are you trying to go to Yale?
The first month they was like, are you, when you leave here, are you going to try to go to Yale or go? I'm like, y'all, I don't want to follow in Destiny's footsteps like that, y'all. Like, we got the same goals, me and Destiny, some of our goals, but I definitely don't want to go to Yale. I don't think I'm gonna get that far, but I do want my MFA in direct.
Right. All right. I'm just checking, because I can imagine that they're a little like, they got some PTSD a little bit, so. You know, but that's okay. So you said the whole, like, you know, you never stop learning thing. That was good, because I was about to follow up with, you know, you're just because you're young doesn't mean that learning stops, and just because you're old doesn't mean learning stops. So
learning,
because that's what two master's degrees does. It also hurts your bank account a little bit. So.
Yes, I'm still waiting on my grad school letter, because I applied to grad school and I'm like, I'm 23, but I was like, I'm gonna see if they say, first they can say is no, but I've applied.
It's good to do it.
So I was like, I'm gonna keep trying, keep learning.
MFAs are good. What is, speaking of MFA, I know he's not Dr. Aaron Brown, but he might as well be. What are some things that Aaron, you mentioned in kind of your background that Aaron helped you along the way with directing tips, and you would go to his office and talk about this and that. What are some of those things? Because it, you know, even as a director, to be directed and learn that way is different than directing. So even if you're in a show, yes, I'm observing and seeing how this person does X, Y, and Z, but doesn't mean that you can then tell somebody else how to do it. What are some of those things that Aaron kind of helped you along with?
Yes. Two big things was the idea that actors can make their own choices. Because I definitely never thought that, or when I was like acting in high school and in middle school, I was just spoon-fed everything of what I was supposed to be doing each and every time, to where I was limited in the choices I could make. But he was like, I just sit back and here's this scene. I want to see what you can do. And then I'm going to help guide you along the way to where we can get to a natural flow, to where we can tell the story. And I never thought about it that way. And I was like, oh, like that makes sense, especially for plays. But then also I helped stage manage Once on This Island with him. And he did that with a musical. So I was like, oh, so this can work just in directing in general. The idea that letting actors, like, give them a voice, give the actors a voice to make choices on stage, to make their own discoveries, to where I'm not spoon feeding them. So I really took that on, because it honestly takes a load off as a director, to where I'm not thinking about everything that you're supposed to be doing, thinking, moving around, blocking, like all of that. I can put that load on you because you are the one that's on the stage. So how can you naturally do what you need to do, react, listen, move with the other actors on stage, things of that nature, to where it's not spoon fed from the director. And that was my biggest takeaway that he gave me. But also the idea of research. Right. Actually researching the show makes a difference, to where it's more than just the words on the paper, but actually where do these words come from? What's actually being said, the cities, the locations, the references, searching those things up. So when we do get to like the table work, it makes everything smooth, to where we're not trying to search for answers already. It's to where I'm coming in with answers to questions, to where actors aren't having to scramble and think of things like, oh no, this means da 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 da. So those are like my two biggest takeaways from him that I really take on and took on and still act on today, that I've been doing since I directed in 2022 with American Son till now, almost 2 years later. I still have that aspect of the actors can make their own choices and in research. And I still check in with him today, just text him, like, hey, Aaron, I got a problem or I got something, a situation. Can you help me real quick? He's like, let me call you.
Yeah.
So I still appreciate that communication with him, to where I can still ask questions, even though he's not his dad. He's still
He defected.
But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
he's making his Texas university tour.
Yes, he's going everywhere.
I love Aaron. He's a wonderful human being. So then you kind of, you're opening up a sensitive Pandora's box to me, because you mentioned a couple things, and I just had this conversation, a similar conversation with the people I mentioned earlier, Raven, or that I had students, Raven, Mashiya, I don't think you know Amber Gibson, but...
I know Amber.
Okay.
She didn't
go to SAM, so I didn't know how much you knew about her, but yeah, new teacher, Cy Fair, she's working. That's all I'll say. But I'm very proud of her. But you know, Desmond, those people. But so I've got a group chat with these former kids that I just value more than anything. And I get myself in trouble as a Jewish white man, you know, old Jewish white man. You know, I'll say things that Mashiya and Raven will put me in my place real fast. You know, nothing that kind of that kind of world.
That kind of crazy. Yeah.
But we got into a conversation about a kind of what's appropriate and inappropriate, right, for certain schools to produce content. And Once on This Island is one of those shows that it's like a Hairspray. It's like a Ragtime. It's like, and this was the actual topic that we were talking about. It's like Sebastian and Mermaid. Do you do those shows if you don't have the people to do them? And the answer is no, you don't. But here's where I think, and you kind of just alluded to this a little bit. You said you do research, right? I think where some people get into trouble, and I'll let you elaborate on this if you want or not, but we'll see. But I think where some people get into trouble is they know Once on This Island is a hot show, right? And it's got beautiful music and this and that, and it's got some fun movement, and it's got, you know, big tech. If you want it to be big tech, it could also be small if you wanted to. But it's a pretty good show, and it's a well-known show. But I don't think everybody knows that it's not white people, right? So they choose it, they put in their season, and then they get to a week out from auditioning and they realize, we don't have the students for this, right? And so that's a weird way of asking this question. When do you think people should start researching? I mean, is it like, and it's kind of a dumb question because I know the answer to the question, but this is about you. Your name is on this particular episode. When do people start researching? When do you got to keep that in mind that I don't have black students? Turns out they're all white, you know, but that kind of thing. So answer that. And if you want to skate around things, that's totally fine. I'm totally fine with that.
Yes, I'm ready to skate.
Yeah.
Because this is interesting because
I'm ready to skate.
We were just talking about this because I'm part of the EDIA committee for Texas Educational Theater Association.
Yeah.
I did the script discussion for Blood at the Root. And it was Lynn Esquivel and Mandy. We was on there just talking about different things and talking about shows. And then Lynn asked the question of, this is an interesting show, but it seems that it's mostly like black students, maybe students of people of color in it. And I was like, yeah. She was like, well, I really don't have that, like, their representation.
Yeah.
And then I was like, so it might not be a right show for you to do, especially the idea of, like, if it's explicitly stated, if it's saying, like, this is portrayed by people of color, this is portrayed by a black or Latinx actor or actress, anything like that, to where that's when the research comes in. I'm just, for one, reading the show.
Yeah.
But two, I definitely, and it segues back into the question, I do my research in like 6 months in advance. Like when I'm trying to think about the next season, it's like a show I've already witnessed before, read before, but then I start researching in the sense of like researching not only the show, but also researching my department.
Right.
Who do I have that will potentially be playing these roles? Or who will come into the audition room that fits these certain demographics of these characters? To where I'm not going in blind thinking, what is happening? Especially already thinking about next season. Because when I came here, I didn't really like have that luxury because it was like hired in July. Went to school talking about the season in end of July to where we was just moving to where I couldn't really think about because I was like, I don't know what's here. I just know it's diverse. So let's do Pippin. And then we did Pippin. And our Pippin was a girl. Fun fact. But it was still a good show. So things like that of like research in the sense of knowing your own department, knowing who would be in that audition room. But also the idea of just reading the show, understanding the characters, and actually knowing that, hey, I can't put this Latinx character in a character that's Asian because it's not going to blend.
Right.
That's not the playwright's intent, and it goes back to that. Or just the idea of the stories that we're trying to tell as a department, as a school, has to be true,
right?
And not just, oh, this is a lovely story, I always wanted to do this show, so let's just put it up. It's more than that. And then we talked about in the EDIA meeting of just the idea, if you do have like a controversial show, because especially nowadays in Texas, with districts getting stricter and stricter on the content that you do portray, luckily I'm at Fort Bend, and luckily I'm at Bush. So to where the principal is like, I love everything that y'all do. As long as you telling the story and it's true intent, y'all can do whatever.
She's amazing.
And she approves it. Yeah. She watches it. Love Miss James.
But
other schools don't have that luxury. So I was talking about like a script discussion talk back after one of the shows, just understanding and stating what you just saw and asking those questions of the community. So it's not, they're just left with something crazy and then that's it. But there's no like communication in between because some schools have to do that just so they can continue doing shows that really pull the envelope a lot. But yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, you bring, see, I could sit, this is why we should have met for dinner. But so, you know, another point you kind of bring up that I've preached for a while is you mentioned the community element. And I think, you know, before Destiny got there, before Miss James got there, and for those people that don't know Miss James, if you ever want to get to know, like, I mean, she is one of the best, if not the best administrators that I've ever gotten to witness. Mm-hmm. And she's just, you know, her, my first interaction with her, she probably doesn't remember. Maybe she does, because she does actually have a pretty good memory. But it was, she was mm-hmm. at Austin High School at the time. And this was years ago. I mean, this was 10 years ago. But anyway, and it wasn't, she was just the admin on duty and probably didn't want to be there. Because it was just, you know, mm-hmm. whatever. But yeah. It was just a fun interaction. But she's amazing and very supportive. And one thing I think that Miss James has done is she has bought into the idea, or preaches the idea, that your community is what you make of it. And so mm-hmm. whether you live in a conservative, a liberal, a Mormon, a Christian, a Jew, whatever mm-hmm. adjective or a description, not adjective, whatever description you want to put on that community, black, white, Asian, mm-hmm. whatever, they will eventually be trained just as much as anybody else. You know, theater is audience, stage, and actor. So mm-hmm. you have to train your audience just as much as you have to train your actors. And so if you are doing content that is tough but still a good story, it doesn't matter what it's about. The community will mm-hmm. eventually be like, oh, this is, you know, this is Mr. J does this stuff all the time. We love it. It's beautiful theater. They don't care mm-hmm. what the content is, because you're putting on beautiful stories, right? And I think that a lot of administrators and directors, and I'm turning this into me talking too much, but I do think that they buy in too much to the community will delegate what we do. And I think that,
and I hate that.
Yeah, right. And I think that, is it going to happen overnight? Absolutely not. But I think that after a couple of years, then, because what Destiny did at Sugarland Middle, when she did Mary Gerard, Sugarland, that area does not want to see that. But they mm-hmm. did, and they loved it, and they accepted it, and it, because it was just stellar. And then fast forward, mm-hmm. you know, so those types of things. Anyway, I don't know if you have anything to say about that, but you got me.
No, yes.
You built my soapbox. Here.
No, let me get on mine, because do it. I definitely agree. With the sense of, like, I love the community and love, like, all the different communities, but the idea of theater is storytelling, to tell these harsh stories, to put these stories on stage, to where we're preaching, we're protesting, we're advocating, but also sometimes we just want to tell a good story that may be rough to hear, but if it's factual, if it's true, if you can leave with something in a sense of questioning, how am I going to better myself from hearing this? Or I've done this before, in the sense of I actually did what they did on that stage and felt how it made them uncomfortable. So let me not do that no more. Then we start preaching to the masses of, like, being a better human race. To where that's what I love about theater so much. It's like the advocating, the protesting, the preaching, and the storytelling that can really change people and change their audience. Because I don't want them leaving with nothing. They're going to leave with something.
Right.
To where they can either change about themselves or think differently once they leave that seat. But that's why I definitely think, like, love the community and love how we're supposed to be supportive in some of their decisions. But it's also like, let me tell theater.
Right.
And let these students tell theater. That's definitely relatable to them. With new shows and new plays coming out. But
yeah, well said. So let's get off these hard topics. I gotta ask, so your last name is Rouge, is it Rougely. What is that? Is that Cajun?
Yes, okay. It's from my daddy. He's from Louisiana.
Okay.
St. Francisville, so a little bit up north.
Okay, all right.
North Louisiana.
Okay, I was because I can identify some, you know, because they spell their goes with a E-A-U-X, and, you know, Cajun spelling is just sometimes not.
Mm-hmm.
It's easily recognizable, but not
every
always
time
easy
I go to Louisiana, I'm just like, Oh yes, I'm in the country because that's where he's from. But it's rougely, and then I hear it said different ways, all kind of sound rougely, rougely, roughly. I had to spell it wrong at all my graduations because I'm like, I need you to say it right. I paid money to be here, things like that. So yes, it's interesting.
So and where's your mother from?
My mother's from the Galveston, Lamarck area.
Oh, okay.
Since I'm from Texas City, so she went to Lamarck High School, and she just raised us in Texas City.
Okay. And did you go to where did you go to high school?
I went to Texas City High School with my directors were Bobby Joe Davis and Jessica Hazard.
Okay.
So some people know, but I know some people know Miss Joseph, who's in Lamarck High School,
right?
Which is now part of Texas City. Like independent school district, because Texas City took on the Lamarck schools when I was like a sophomore. So I grew up in like a one high school district, and then we took on Lamarck like my sophomore year.
Oh, I didn't know that. So they like absorbed the Lamarck district or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Because Lamarck wasn't doing what they were supposed to be doing. So the state was like, Texas City, I want to take them on. And Texas City did. So then we became two high schools, two middle schools, and now like 15 elementary. Yeah. So
okay,
it's big now.
And when because a lot of some people don't know Texas City, it's south, close to Galveston. Take 45 and you'll hit Texas City.
Yes, Bucky's, where y'all go to Bucky's on the way to Galveston. That's Texas City, y'all.
So where's and I should know this. Where's Texas City and Lake Jackson? Because Lake Jackson is the original Bucky's, right? I'm pretty sure when I say that. I could be wrong, but
I think so, maybe. I just know that Bucky's, because my sister was graduating high school, came in 2012. So if there was one before that in Texas, then more than likely, yes.
That's funny.
Because we was all excited when that Bucky's was built in little old Texas City. And then we had Tanger Outlets, the mall being built.
Tanger Outlets,
Texas City's been moving on up. Slowly, and now we got Lago Mar over there. I don't live over there no more.
Yeah,
I live in Houston now. But I'm like, yes, come on, Texas City.
I love how your memories are based on when was Bucky's. When did Bucky's arrive?
It's like sister graduated high school. Bucky's was built. Boom.
That was her gift. That was dog. Yeah. That's awesome. That's really funny. So I think you sort of commented on this when you gave your story. When did you like know that theater was kind of the thing you're going to do? You said you wanted to teach theater and stuff, or that you were told, hey, you should teach theater, and that you didn't realize that was a thing. But what got you, when was that moment you kind of knew? Was it middle school or?
Well, funny thing is that I always knew I wanted to be in education.
Oh.
In middle school, that's when I found, like, because I did, like, student council, and I was always a leader. I was student council president from, like, sixth grade till senior year of high school. And then I did, like, taffy. I did, like, all the clubs. I was in choir. I was in...
You say taffy?
Key club. Taffy, the teacher, Texas Association of Future Educators.
Oh, I never even heard of that. Okay, keep going. That's funny.
I was the vice president of that club. Okay. Like, I did it all. But I just always knew I wanted to do education, just teaching something, to where I wanted to become a principal, because I really had an inspirational principal in my middle school. And then she went over to Mr. Dickinson, which we love her for that. And now she's a principal at Dickinson High School. But anyways, it's just, she inspired me, and I was like, oh, I want to be in her position one day.
Yeah.
So then I was like, oh, I'm gonna be a principal. I'm going to teach for like 3 years, the minimum requirements to become an AP. Like, I had it all planned out. That I was going to teach. And I was going to probably teach history or something. And I had that planned out. And I was doing taffy, doing these clubs. And then end of junior year, when my theater teacher was like, you sure you want to teach history or just teach? Like, you don't want to teach theater? And I was like, I never thought about that before. She was like, I think you'll be good at it, because she just knew, like, I love theater. I was there every day doing all kinds of stuff. So she knew I wanted to teach, but I was like, she didn't know, like, why I didn't want to teach theater. So I was like, yeah, I guess I could do that. And I was like, oh, that's so smart. I'll teach theater. I like doing that, but I still want to be a principal. So I was like, I'll teach, get my principal certification, admin, all that stuff, research and all that. But I didn't have the click to be like, oh no, I just want to like direct,
right,
or just do theater for the rest of my life until I had Aaron Brown directed in one class.
Gotcha.
So he's like, I literally tell this to him. I tell it to my students as I talk about certain people that come into your life. He's one of the, he's literally, like, people don't know, he's literally the reason I'm like a director today and want to pursue directing for like the rest of my life. Just because he just added that spark in me and really validated all my ideas and what I could bring to a show to right. where I was like, oh, wait, I can do this. And not only just do this like teaching wise, but like do this professionally and branch out to where I don't have to teach all every time or all the time. I could come profess
right.
to where I want to be a professor and then I want to do professional work. So he's the reason why like I'm a director today. He's the reason why I got one of my professional assistant directing gigs at the AD Players.
Right.
We just closed Steel Magnolias. And I was the AD for that show. So he's like, his spark is what's sparking all these other opportunities for me. So yeah, it really was like a chain of like just education. Oh, then teach theater. Oh no, you just want to be a theater director. Education is where I'm gonna start and grow from here.
Wow. So you just, okay. So you just glossed over that real fast. I did not realize you did Steel Magnolias at 80 Players. Number one, beautiful space. They've earned it because they've been waiting for, I mean, they literally waited 2 decades to get that space, but
to get it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's gorgeous. It was, I mean, I don't know if it was worth the wait, but it's a gorgeous space.
Nice theater.
Number two, Steel Magnolias, not a show that's done really anymore. And I don't know why it's not done as much anymore. It was really hot in the 90s as a stage play. And then it's still done every once in a while. Cause you'll see on like those Facebook messengers, like who has the dryers, you know,
the dryers, yeah. the chairs and right. stuff.
Mm-hmm. But then also, so you balanced, work life with this professional gig. What for you, cause that's kind of new for you. What was that? Mm-hmm. What was that like for you? What kind of experience was that?
It was interesting because it was in the middle of musicals.
Right, right.
So I would have rehearsals like after from like 3 to 6, and then I would leave there and go to Houston, right. River Oaks area to rehearsals. Tuesday through Friday, during the week. And it was tiring because we got rehearsals at like 10:30, and then I gotta drive 30 minutes to my place, and then wake up in the morning and then do it all over again.
Right.
And this was like for basically from January 2nd until the show opened January 26th, and then my musical opened like the 24th or 25th.
Right.
So it was like I had to be there for my babies, but then I had to leave early. I just did rituals with them, and then I left that Friday because the show was open. I was like, I gotta be there, gotta right. get that check. But it's also opening night for them too, yeah. which I had a new family over there. So it was hard balancing, but I don't regret it because it opened new doors for me sure. once again. And I love the director I worked with, Leslie Swackhammer, amazing human being. And the actors that I worked with was interesting. And they were fun. They were older. So working with older people, like I was the youngest in the room, as recently has been the thing, which I don't mind. So I was asking questions. They were like, huh? And then I'm like, oh, wait, he doesn't know what this is because he's 23 or 22 at the time, because I just turned 23 yeah. This month. But it was interesting and love working with older people. Yeah. Also, the idea of like working with professional actors to where you don't have to like baby them through certain things. They just click it and go. Mm-hmm. It was like, oh, this is the life.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, oh, you want me to be a professional theater director, Lord?
Yeah.
Is what it was giving. But it was tough, but I don't regret it at all. The students understand and we still were able to or I was still able to balance them and balance like the professional life as well, which I thought was a check on my list, just because I knew like if I couldn't balance this, I probably would have like would turn down future opportunities, right? Because I know I want to be there for my kids first. But I was able to balance this, so that just fueled me up like, okay, I can do this every now and then to where it shouldn't affect me as much.
Right. All right. So mm-hmm. I'm going to get you out of here on this. I always typically end with like words of advice, words of wisdom and everything. And I'm not going to change that for you. So being as young as you are and being as having a head screwed on the right way and, you know, just kind of, you just have your bearings and you're just, you know, mature beyond your years or wise beyond your years. What is it that keeps you that way? What is it that keeps you not necessarily grounded or down to earth, but that kind of idea of, cause I don't think you don't have an ego that needs to be brought down to earth. You just mm-hmm. seem to be very, you know what you need, you know what you want, you're going to get it. What is it that's mm-hmm. keeping you that person, and how do you make somebody else be that way?
Mm-hmm. definitely what keeps me going is just the idea of the craft, what I love to do. Like, I have no regrets of anything that I've done in the past or what like challenges I face, that I know that I can overcome them. But also the idea too, I do what I love every single day. So knowing what you love to do and pursuing that, like your passion, your drive, like this fuels me every day to where even if I have like a bad day, I wake up in the morning still ready to go to work, ready to do it all over again. So my advice would just always find that spark in what you do and in what you love and keep that as the thing that keeps you going. I also personally always like to be better. That's like my mantra that I go throughout the day. And I even tell my students, like, be better than yesterday, be better today, be better in rehearsals, be better. Like, we always get better every day. So that's what keeps me going. And I think that would be like my biggest advice to someone else, is to always be better and then find that spark, that drive, that passion that keeps you going.
Minor Wisdom.